Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. My name is Brent Russett. I am the senior pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church, and it is my pleasure to look at some of life's challenges and then bring you some good news in the morning. This program is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries. If you want to look us up on the internet or to re-listen to this program, you can find it at goodnewsinthemorning.ca. Lately, I've been spending some time in the book of Isaiah, and so I want to invite you into this journey with me. Isaiah has been called the St. Paul of the Old Testament, and the book has been called the Mount Everest of the Old Testament because of the grandeur of its scope. But not all of the book is easy reading, because sometimes God is frustrated with his people. Yet it is my hope that as we spend some time in Isaiah, that you will catch a fresh view of God's grace and love and see God's heart in a new way. Let me tell you a little bit about Isaiah. Isaiah lived in the era of the prophets. Amos, Hosea, Jonah, Micah were all prophets, and they were contemporaries of Isaiah. And their ministries overlapped. Isaiah was a scholar, an academic. He was a writer by trade. His job was to chronicle the exploits of the king. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 22 says, "The other events of Uzziah's reign, from beginning to end, are recorded by the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos." 2 Chronicles 32, 32 says he did the same thing for the king, for King Hezekiah. I find it interesting that if Isaiah had two identities, one was a journaler for the king of Israel, but his other identity was a prophet who was employed by God to speak his word. One brought in his day-to-day living expenses. The other was his calling to speak the very word of God. It seems to me that if you are a Christian, you also own those two identities. You have your role as an employer and or in your place of work, you have a place of employment. But the Bible also calls you an ambassador for Christ. You speak on God's behalf. We bring the truth of God into our current situation. So you're very much like Isaiah. So in his role of prophet, Isaiah starts his book, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2. "Listen, O heavens, pay attention, earth. This is what the Lord says. The children I raised and I cared for have rebelled against me. Even an ox knows its owner and a donkey recognizes its master's care, but Israel does not know its master. My people don't recognize my care for them." God invites all creation to listen into what he has to say. God says to Israel, "I raised you as my children. I cared for you, and you have rebelled against me. Even the animals know their master, but you don't recognize me. My people really don't get it. I care for them, but they failed to see me." Now, here is a pointer if you're going to read through the book of Isaiah. Pay attention to the quotation marks. You will see at the end of verse 3, close quotation marks, because God has spoken. But what you need to know about the book of Isaiah and Isaiah himself is that he's a preacher. He does what I do when I'm preaching. He takes the word of God and declares it, and then he expands on it. So you have the direct revelation from God, and then you have the indirect revelation from Isaiah. So now Isaiah starts to preach. Verse 4. "Oh, what a sinful nation they are, loaded down with a burden of guilt. They are evil people, corrupt children, who have rejected the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel and turned their backs on him. Why do you continue to invite punishment? Why must you rebel forever? Your head is injured. Your heart is sick. You are battered from head to foot, covered with bruises, welts, infected wounds, without any soothing ointments or bandages." as we're going to see in a few moments, the people who Isaiah was talking to were a very religious people. They were continuing to practice their religion all the while they were rebelling against God. You can be religious and rebellious all at the same time. You can submit to the habits and the practice of religion while at the same time defying the authority of God himself. Isaiah uses some metaphors to describe what happened because of their rebellion. He says their head is injured, their heart is sick, and their bodies have been battered. That's a pretty good description of someone who was in rebellion. Rebellion in Christian terms is you know what God wants you to do and you fail to do it, and you do something else. Now, I want to nuance this for a moment. There are many churches who will tell you that what they want and what God wants are the same thing. I'm always wary of an authoritarian, I have a plan for your life kind of church. At the same time, community matters. Discerning what God wants together matters. It's not just between you and God, it's between the community of God pursuing God together that helps us determine what God wants. It is what comes out of the scripture and discerning that together that shows us what God wants. Rebellion is when we know what God wants and then we live in defiance of that. Isaiah says, what happens is that our head is injured. Whenever we live in rebellion, we tend to rationalize our actions. Our thinking becomes distorted because we have to find a way to make defying God okay. Then our hearts are sick. Rebellion is a poison that enters our hearts and we get sick. It shows up on so many levels. You can call it a leanness of soul. You can call it a failure to thrive. When we experience this, we tend to try to distract ourselves from ourselves. We continue to live while our heart continues to die. And sickness of soul can make a sick body, or a stressed body, or a fat body, or an unhealthy body. 1 Samuel 15:23 says that rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft. There is often a direct correlation between rebellion and spiritual warfare. When we live in rebellion, we give the enemy of our soul the right to attack us. And if you're living with someone who is in rebellion, pray for them and pray for yourself. Pray that God will have mercy on them and protect you. So now Isaiah lays out what has happened to the people of God because of their rebellion. Chapter 1, verse 7 says, well, your country lies in ruins. Your towns are burned. Foreigners plunder your fields before your eyes and destroy everything they see. Scholars differ in which attack Isaiah is describing, but things are not going well for Israel. There are some people who take passages like this and apply it to Canada. We as a country have our fair share of evils, but the sad thing about our country is that we're not really in rebellion. Many people who are doing what is wrong by God's standards actually believe that what they are doing is right. And that is beyond rebellion. We have moved into godlessness. If we want to make a direct application, and that is often dangerous, it's better to compare Israel to the church, even though it's not even a direct one-to-one comparison. But look at what God says. Isaiah stops preaching and starts quoting God again. He says, listen to the Lord, you leaders of Sodom, and listen to the law of God, people of Gomorrah. In case you missed that, that's a pretty good insult. Isaiah just slams them, and now he starts to quote God in verse 11 of chapter 1. What makes you think I want all your sacrifices, says the Lord. I am sick of your burnt offerings, of rams, and the fat of fattened calves. I get no pleasure from blood or of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to worship me, who asked you to parade through my courts with all your ceremony, stop bringing me your meaningless gifts. The incense of your offerings disgust me. And for your celebrations of the new moon and the Sabbath and your special days for fasting, they are all sinful and false. I want no more of your pious meetings. I hate your new moon celebrations and your annual festivals. They are a burden to me. I cannot stand them. When you lift up your hands in prayer, I will not look. Though you offer many prayers, I will not listen. For your hands are covered with the blood of innocent victims. Let me condense what God has said. He's saying, I don't get any pleasure from your sacrifices. Your gifts are meaningless, and your incense and your offerings disgust me. I can't stand your celebrations, and I won't listen to your prayers. I can just hear some of you thinking right now, well, thanks, Pastor. That's a really great way to get up in the morning. You're really bringing me down today. Well, I just want you to know it gets better. But I actually think this is really helpful because it exposes God's heart. I like how the New Living Translation translates verse 13. As for your celebrations of new moons and Sabbaths and your special days for fasting, they are sinful and false. I want no more of your pious meetings. God says your religious meetings are false. They're not authentic. I know a lot of you value authenticity. I want you to know that God does too. Remember the story in Luke chapter 18? Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee. The other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. I thank you, God, that I'm not a sinner like everyone else, for I don't cheat and I don't sin and I don't commit adultery. I'm certainly not like the tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of my income. But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven. And as he prayed, he beat his chest in sorrow and saying, "Oh God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner." I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humble, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. See, God values authenticity. In a few moments, I'm going to talk about worship, but let's take a few moments to listen to some worship music. This is one of my favorite hymns. It's called "Be Thou My Vision," and it's from the Worship Events album.
Thou with me, Lord.
God values authenticity. I know that some of you go to church, and depending on which church you go to, you sing hymns to worship God, or some of you sing choruses, or like the church I pastor, we sing a combination of both. Most songs that we sing are corporate prayers. Singing together is one of the best ways of praying together. And sometimes we're singing together and praying together, and you know, we pray some pretty lofty prayers. We just heard one of those prayers. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me save that thou art. Thou my best thought by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou my inheritance now and always, thou and thou only first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure thou art. And when I sing and pray songs like that, there are days when I sing that with a feeling of authenticity. That's really true of me. And then there's other days when I pray that kind of prayer. But quite frankly, I know I have a divided heart. What is the scripture telling us that God values? God values authenticity. What happens when we sing songs like this on days when we know our heart is not there? Here's what God does not want us to do. He does not want our worship to be false. So how do you respond when you gather together and you know your heart is not expressing what the church is singing and praying? Well, you have a couple of responses. You can be just like the people Isaiah was talking to, saying your worship is sinful and false. You can blithely mouth the words where you worship God with your lips, but your heart is far from him. That is not a response I would recommend. God finds that kind of worship burdensome. Well, you could shut up and not sing, and only sing the parts of the song that I express where you are at. You can sing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty," because that is true whether you're feeling it or not. But you don't sing, "I love you, Lord, with all my heart," because you know that isn't true. Well, that's a better response than the first response, but that's still not the best response. When a community of believers pray and sing together and are expressing a spiritual life that I'm currently not walking in, there's a better response. It's an authentic response. The best response is one of engagement. This is where you say, "Lord, you know my heart. You know I'm not there. The words I say that I will seek you with all my heart, but I know in reality that I'm not seeking you. And Lord, I sing a prayer that in reality that this is what I want in my life. I want it to be real in my life, but it's not there right now. But Lord, I'm willing for it to be there." It's an aspirational prayer. "Lord, would you come and make the song that I'm singing true in my life? This is what I aspire to be. This is what I want, even though I'm not living it now." Now, my friends, if that's you are in that place where you have a divided heart, but you'll come before God and say, "This is not what I want. This is what is, but I want to be more like you." That is both authentic and powerful. That is prayer. That is worship. That is the kind of stuff that God loves. And that is a very good response. The best response, though, is repentance. But as you know, our spiritual life isn't all about what we do at church. It's not just about how we mouth words and pray prayers and sing these lofty songs. It's about how we live. That's why Isaiah says in verse 16 of chapter 1, "Wash yourselves and be clean. Get your sins out of my sight. Give up your evil ways. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Help the oppressed. Defend the cause of the orphan. Fight for the rights of the widow." God says to his people, "Stop doing what you know is wrong and learn to do right." That's the definition of repentance. Stopping what you're doing wrong. He says, "Learn to do good." I like this set of verses. I found that it is hard to stop doing something without replacing the action you want to stop with another action. But often the good we want to do is something that has to be learned. It's something where it's a process of stopping what God doesn't want and stepping into what God does want. You may also notice that All these things that God calls us to do in this particular passage are externally focused. This isn't some self-betterment scheme. This isn't all about you. Be authentic. Turn away from your sin and rebellion. Learn to do good, especially to those in need, is what these verses are saying. In a few hours, some of you will be headed off to church. I want to urge you to be authentic with God. See, God values authenticity. Now, I know that there are many of you who don't go to church for various reasons. Some of you don't go to church because you've seen Christians and, well, you just can't handle the level of hypocrisy. I want you to know that how you look at hypocrisy and how God looks at hypocrisy are the same. God values authenticity. But don't let people stand in the way of you knowing God, for God calls you to himself. You can't let other people stand in your way and use them as an excuse. It's between you and God. I want you to know also that you can come to God in authenticity with who you are. There are some of you who doubt God. I want you to know that God can handle your doubts. There are some of you who are angry with God. I want you to know that God can handle your anger. There are some of you who feel like a failure and wonder if God would ever really want you. I want you to know that God sent his son Jesus to show you how much he loves you. God wants to invite you to become part of his family. Give Jesus your life, invite him into your life, and choose to follow after him. He cares for you and he wants to walk in an authentic relationship with you. With that, let us pray together. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for Isaiah and for this passage of scripture that shows us your heart. You don't like hypocrisy, but you love authenticity. And Lord, I'm asking for people who are listening right now that they would be able to walk towards you in authenticity, to acknowledge where they're at in their spiritual life, and that they would take one step towards you. For those who haven't received you into their lives, I pray that you would allow them just to invite you in and place their faith and trust in you. For people who have received you into their life, but they're not walking in authenticity right now, I pray, Lord, that you would grant them the ability to move forward in repentance and come to you just as they are, acknowledge that, and move forward. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you, listeners, for your words of encouragement and keeping us in your prayers. Keeping this program on the air continues to be a work of faith. If you can help with that, please make a check payable to Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario. KOG1WO is the postal code. Or you can give online by going to goodnewsinthemorning.ca. My prayer for you is that may you know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart. And may our Heavenly Father surround you with his constant and abiding and accompanying love. Well, we're going to see this morning out with a song called Come, Now is the Time to Worship. It was written by Brian Dorickson and is on his album, You Shine. Have a good morning.
Now is the
time to give your heart. Come just as you are to worship. Oh, come just as you are for your
News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580.